Y'all ever heard of happy tears? I got happy tears right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are people working evil plans. Don't be blinded. Not everything you hear on the television is what you think it is. But I know this, God's word will stand. I stand here tonight absolutely without apology. I hold God's 100% infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. I believe every word of it. I rest right here. This is where I rest. I praise the Lord for it. I am excited about preaching the series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. I probably will launch our home improvement month with being blessed. I don't think any marriage wants to not be blessed. And I do not think that we can go to any other passage of Scripture that could help our homes and our individual lives than the Sermon on the Mount. So probably starting Sunday morning next week, we're just going to go right on down the line on those blessed, the Beatitudes. But tonight, it's not odd. Coincidences are not in the Christian's vocabulary. God does everything in order. And Brother Larry, this is his last service here for a while, and I've never finished that message on faith. I'm going to finish it tonight. And then starting Sunday in Home Improvement Month, I want to start preaching on being blessed. And my desire, and I can't even imagine, my desire is a real desire. And I go to bed with it. My wife goes to bed with it. We live it day to day and hour by hour. And I'm just a human. And I know my human limitations. I know I'm human, but I know that I have a strong desire for every family that comes to this church. I desire for you to be blessed. But my desire pales in comparison to what God wants for us. And so when we look at a passage of Scripture and He gives us nine principles that we can be blessed in our lives, He means it. Now there's human responsibility in us putting it in our lives. So that's what we get to look forward to on Sunday. But tonight, if you would open the precious Word of God, and I'm giving you fair warning now, I know we don't have seat belts in the chairs and the pews, but you better get buckled up, buttoned up, hitched up, hold on, because I've got a short time and I got a lot to say. So we're going to preach fast, probably around 95 mile an hour. So hang tight. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll turn there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. We're just going to launch from this verse. You will find this phrase four times in the Word of God. Four times. I've been preaching this last few weeks, the just shall live by faith. But in verse 38 of the book of Hebrews, you'll find verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now four times in the Word of God, you'll find this phrase, the just shall live by faith. You'll find it in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You'll find it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. You'll find it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And you'll find it right here in the passage that I just read. If God says something once, it's enough to take notice of. If God says something four times, it's something we better pay attention to. The just shall live by faith. That's the way we're to live. And I've been giving you just little statements and principles and Bible principles about faith. And we talked about that faith is real. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, that's the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 says this, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Real faith makes things unseen seen. I've never seen heaven. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know it's true? Because I've seen it through the eye of faith. Jesus has told me that it's there, so by faith I believe it. And I want you to know something, just as sure as I'm standing here, heaven's real. Faith is real. Hey, faith is a gift. God has given gift to every man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that he has given a measure of faith to every man. I've heard people say, well, I just don't have faith like so-and-so. No, you've been given faith. The question is, what are you doing with it? Faith is real. It's a gift. God has given every man a gift of faith, and that faith must be placed in the right person, in Jesus Christ. It ought to be put in his promises. I love what Brother Larry said, that we come to him knowing that he is. That he is. What do you need? That's what he is. He's what you need. It's what I need. I want you to know faith is a gift. Hey, faith overcame fire. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, hey, look, you don't bow down to me. He said, we're going to throw you in a furnace of fire, and we're going to heat it up seven times hotter. And boy, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at the most powerful man in the then known world, Nebuchadnezzar, one of the wonders of the world. Seven wonders of the world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And they looked him in the face and said, eye to eye, and said, hey, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. Our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But I love these next few words. They said, but if not, that's faith. They said, we don't care what you do to us, because we know even if he allows us to go in that fire, we're going to trust him to the end. And by the way, he showed up in the fire. And the Bible says when they got out of that fire, you couldn't even smell the smoke. That faith brought that fourth one in there. I don't know about y'all, but I like walking with that fourth one. We need that fourth one. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that fourth one. Nebuchadnezzar went in there and said, hey, boys, y'all looking there real good. Now, I'm having trouble. I don't have my contacts on. I thought we threw three men in there. You did, sir. Well, why is there four? Because faith done brought the Son of God down. And then we live such crackerjack lives. We live such little firecracker lives. You say, what brings fire? What brings more power to the fire? Bringing that fourth one in there. Well, how you go bring that fourth one in there? By trusting him. But if not, King. But if not, CNN. But if not, my government. We're going to trust God. We're going to serve the one that saved us. Hey, I want you to know, faith overcame fire. Hey, quickly, we've talked about all these. Faith is the opposite of fear. Hebrews 11:23. Moses' parents were not afraid because they believed God's promises. They believed he were able. Hey, faith is pleasing God. Faith is pleasing God. If you go please God, it's impossible to please God. And I brought this down to our level. We all understand this. I have two children. Now, I'm human, and I have two children, but, you know, growing up and even now, even that they're adults, you know, I hope they trust me. Do you know what brings great joy to me? Just to know that my children trust me. Well, you say, well, how is that to God? Well, God is pleased when his children trust him. It's impossible to please him without trusting him, without faithing him. And so we understand that faith is real. Faith is a gift. Faith overcomes fire, but faith pleases God. Hey, quickly, faith is Bible living. Romans 10:8. Hey, 1 Peter 1:5, faith is the Christian's keeping power. Hey, faith is man's extremity and God's opportunity. I've learned this. Faith works better when the last straw of human help has been exhausted. When we've come to wit's end. When we've come to the bottom of the barrel, get ready, because you have an opportunity to trust him more than you've ever trusted him in your life. And I'm going to promise you this, he will prove himself. Faith defies human reasoning. There have been a lot of people I've read about in the Word of God, and I just say, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. I mean, how in the world can a young boy, teenage boy, go out and fight a man of war twice his size, and this young man goes up there with a sling? That's like somebody going up with a, hey, listen to me, that's like somebody going to battle and they've got M16s and I've got a, hey, look at me, I've got a slingshot. What y'all think about that? What brought him, David, that little teenage boy, what took him there? And it didn't, the Bible doesn't say that he walked to the giant. Y'all know what he did. The Bible says he ran to him. And he defiantly looked at that Goliath and said, hey, I want you to know something. We're going We're going to be feasting tonight because you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. He laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. He said, you ain't nothing but a little rough. He said, yeah, but I want you to know something. You come to me in the power of the sword and the spear. I think of Clay when he's a little boy. He used to love David, man. He'd act like he was slinging that sling. He had to stand just right, too. If he didn't have that leg cocked just right, he'd get mad. He watched this thing on television, David and Goliath, and Clay would act that out, and he'd come here, he'd say, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the power of the name of God. Clay would sling it. And man, we've seen that giant fall every year, every day, every night in our living room. Hey, man. But in real life, what brought that teenage boy there with a sling? I'm going to tell you what faith did. Because it did, look at me now, it didn't make sense. It defied all logic. Hey, it didn't add up in the books, Brother Don. But I want to tell you right now, here was a young boy that stepped out on faith and he trusted God. And by the way, the giant fell. So faith ain't always lines up with human reasoning. Hey, I want you to know, faith is the mixture that makes the gospel effective. Would y'all turn with me, and this is probably the only passage I'm going to turn to tonight. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 3? I'd like for you to look at some things with me here that I think will be helpful to us tonight to apply some things to our lives. Y'all want to please God? Do you want to please God? Do you really want to please your Creator? Then trust Him. Do you want to live a life of blessingness? Then just trust Him, because look, there are so many things that we worry about and we carry around. We can't do anything with them anyway. And so the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. I've learned there's rest and trust in Christ. I come around people all the time. I just say, boy, I wish they could rest. They're wearing me out. I can't imagine. I'm only around some people a short amount of time, and I'm thinking, man, they wear me out in that short. I couldn't imagine. But look, can I just help everybody here? You don't have to wear anybody out. You can, if you know Jesus, you can rest in Him. Claim a promise and rest. But I want you to notice something here. In Hebrews chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice. Now, I want to emphasize some words. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation, the wilderness. Now we're going back now. He's going back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel defied the Lord by not believing Him, especially when it came to the situation of coming into Kadesh Barnea and there was great giants there and they said, we can't take the land. Now, I want you to notice this. When your fathers tempted me, notice this next phrase, they proved me and saw my works for 40 years. So he had done it for them for 40 years. He had already proved himself to them. Look what God says. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Why do they err? And they have not known my ways. Why have they not known his ways? So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, notice this next phrase, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then it goes on to talk about, I want you to notice in verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. He said, the ones that believed me not cannot enter into the promised land. So we see that they could not enter in because of why? They were mean. No. Because they were sinful? No. Yes, they were sinful. But what was the sin? He calls it right here. Look at it. Verse 19. Unbelief. Did you know unbelief's a sin? Did you know if God says something, you just say, well, that's not for me. Do you know you just sinned against the holy God? Because you're not trusting Him. I'm not trusting Him. Now, I want to say to you, human standpoint, we get afraid. We get scared, right? That's what stops us most of the time. We're afraid to really get out on a limb and trust the Lord. That's our human nature. But I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Trust Him. He's proved Himself to us. There's nothing impossible. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and he set the captives free. He made the lame to walk again and he caused the blind to see. I mean, we know that he did all that, so I can't trust him today with my problems, Pastor. We give God, we give people a lot of lip service, say, oh, I trust him. And then we go home tonight, we can't even go to sleep. We're struggling. Why? Because we're not trusting him. Do you know an unbelieving heart is sinful to the Christian? But exhort one another daily while it is today. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Notice this. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Can I tell you what the average church member does? They hear a message. They say, oh, good sermon, good sermon, good sermon, good sermon, good sermon, good sermon. I got stirred. Good sermon. They walk out of the church. They never talk about it. They never deal with it. And they come back the next week and say, oh, I want to hear another good sermon. Good sermon, good sermon, good sermon. But that sermon's not going to be effective until you put it into your life. That takes faith. You know what was life-changing for my wife and I? Y'all know this. Y'all know what was life-changing? We actually attended church. We started going together. We started going to church together. We started going to church every Sunday. We started going to Sunday school, and we got in the car on the way home. We had about a 12-minute drive, and we talked only about the things of the Lord all the way home. And it wasn't one of these things. Honey, did you hear that? You needed that. You know, boy, I'm glad the preacher said that. Boy, did you get that? You needed that. No, you know usually what would happen. Here's usually what would happen. Usually either I or me, and usually early on it was me, early on, I would come in and say, honey, I need to talk to you a minute. Boy, I was convicted today by the message. I want to apologize to you. I've not been the right kind of husband that I need to be to you. And boy, I've learned today, God has helped me. Will you pray with me? Will you help me? Will you encourage me to put that in my life? That takes faith. I am absolutely convinced somewhere between this pulpit and people's homes and people's workplaces and people's cars, somewhere everything behind this that gets preached gets lost in translation somewhere. Can I help every dad here just a second? What you've learned here, take it home. What you've learned here, set your family down. Say, now, here, we're going to turn the television off. We're going to turn all the iPads off. We're going to turn all the Xboxes off for a little while. We're going to turn all this stuff off. We're going to sit down as a family, and we're going to talk about how God spoke to us today. That's mixing faith with the gospel. He said, you know what? It was not effective for them because they did not mix faith with the gospel. They did not mix faith. Is that what the King James says? Right here, that's what it says. Verse number 2 says, not being mixed with faith that heard it. Look, there's been enough truth given in the last 20 years in this church. So why? What's happening? Somewhere along the line, Brother Mike, faith's not being mixed in that thing. Oh, it's good preaching. Listen, it's good living. It's good living. Faith mixed is the mixture that makes the gospel. Then I want you to turn over quickly to chapter 4. Look at verse 11. This is the cure for unbelief. Look at verse 11 in chapter 4. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, it's been before time. We see why they fail. Here, he told us right here why those people did not enter into the rest. We don't have to make the same mistake because he's already laid it out to us. Said, look, the reason they did is they didn't have a believing heart. They didn't trust me when they should have trusted me. So I'm encouraging you, don't do the same. Because look at verse 12. Why do we have to be worried about trusting? Because God's word will stand. Look at verse 12. Woo! For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the word of God does? I'm going to tell you what, it'll slash a man open. I'm going to tell you what the word of God does. It cuts. and it plows and plows deep. I love that song y'all sung tonight and sung this morning. Why? Because we've always known the word of God will prevail because it's going to prevail in the hearts of mankind. I trust the word of God. I trust the word of God. Every Sunday school teacher here ought to be given the word of God. Every ministry that we do here, it's many people come and say, well, what do you got for the kids? We've got the word of God. They can get entertainment anywhere. And I'm not against having fun. We have some fun. But what these young people need, you need the word of God. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what the word of God does. It'll just... You know what it'll help you do, Maddox? It'll help you behavior. It'll help you obey your mom and dad. That's what the word of God will do. Amen? Hey, we worry about people. You know what? They need the word of God. Why? I trust the word of God. It will prevail in the hearts of man. And I want you to know something. The cure for unbelief is the word of God. Why? Because it's quick, powerful. Sometimes we think we got to help God out. No, let's just trust the word of God. Let's trust the Spirit of God to do his work. So faith is the mixture that makes the gospel effective. Hey, faith is giving all. The little boy with the lunch, he didn't pull this on God. Well, I'll give you two and I'll keep three. He gave it all. See, we like to play that game with God. Well, we've done enough. Have we? Have we? You answer that. Have you done enough? Have I done enough? I mean, he's only given us life everlasting. Have we really done enough? Have we given enough? Probably not. Faith's giving all, like this little boy. He gave it all. They come up and said, hey, we need your lunch. You know why I believe he gave that lunch? Because he heard God before he gave it. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. He heard Jesus speak. And he knew something was different about that man. And he gave. He gave all. Hey, faith is giving all. Hey, faith is man's resting and God's working. You want to rest? Resting's a whole lot more better than worrying. Hey, rest is a lot better than... Y'all ever been in a rowboat? My grandpa, bless his heart, he's in heaven. He knew how to row a rowboat. My dad and I never could row a boat. He'd get us out there in that steamboat shooting, and he'd say, all right, Mark, take us to the other side. Next thing you know, we done hit the white caps. He's like, Mark, get out of the seat. Why? Because I was rowing, but I wasn't getting anywhere. Y'all with me? Y'all know what worrying does. You're doing a lot of rowing, but you certainly ain't getting anywhere. But you're doing a lot of action, a lot of movement. But if you'd put that action and movement into faith, my goodness, think what God could do. He'd do a whole lot more than rowing. He'd get you somewhere. Say amen right there. Rowing. I've seen people row all my life. I've rowed all my life. Just rowing. Oh, I thank God. No. Wait, faith is resting. He's working. That's faith. That don't mean we're lazy. Just means there's some things you can't fix. So just rest. Pray and rest and say, Lord, I'm claiming your promise. You got to be real to me tonight. I got to get some rest. I got to lay my head down. Some of you ladies are thinking of stuff to worry about. Every lady I know is about ready to have a nervous breakdown if they can put it in their busy schedule. Can I give you some help? Faith will conquer all that. Rest. Get in the Word of God, find your little promise and claim it. Put faith in that promise and claim it. I tell you, it'll work. Somebody help me. How many of you ever done it before? And you've gotten some rest at night. We'll give that a testimony to others because, look, we ain't got time for people griping and whining. Look, we got work to do. Faith is God in action on the battlefield, winning every battle and making real what Christ has made possible. Let me read that one more time and I'm going to close. I've preached too long tonight. Faith is God in action on the battlefield, winning every battle and making real what Christ has made possible. I don't know about y'all, but when you see your pastor getting weak, why don't you just throw this on me? Y'all ready? Hey, pastor, just trust the Lord. But by the way, that's going to go both ways, because when I see you getting weak, I'm going to hit y'all with that too. maybe I'll just say this, maybe Miss Janet, maybe she's struggling somewhere, and I'm going to say, well, Miss Janet, I'm going to tell you, trust the Lord. He's going to see you through it. Hey, Maddox, just trust the Lord. He's going to see you through it. What grade are you in, son? He's going to get you through there. I promise you. Just trust him. Now, study for them tests and them quizzes, but then trust him. He'll get you through. Janet and Chris, how long y'all been married? You're in trouble, son. Okay, you don't, look here, you don't ever shrug your shoulders when somebody asks how long you've been married. You at least attempt to make an answer there. How many? Chris, answer that. 3 years almost. You're going to make it, son. But you better trust him. Some people are going to have to trust a little harder. Amen. I love Brother Chris. We ain't going to wink. Well, I don't know. Winging it in the right way is trusting him. But we got to trust him. Just listen. It works. He's going to see you through it. It might not work out exactly like you think, but I promise you this. It's going to work out. And if you believe that he has your best interest in mind, maybe he knows more than you do, and maybe the way you don't think it worked out the best, it is worked out the best. You just don't know it yet. So let's trust him. Amen? Faith. We're going to move. We're going to look. It's going to be by faith or force. We just might as well just go by faith. Everybody here, we're going to trust him this year. 2008, last day of January, last Sunday of January. Y'all going to trust him? How many of y'all have something, and we're going to close. How many of y'all have something right now that you can't do anything about, so you know you got to trust him? I have to raise my hand. Would y'all raise your hand? So look, there's a good one right there. Let's start right there. Let's just trust him. And I'm going to promise you, let's give testimony at the end of the year. Let's see if he gets you through it. Get you a promise tonight. Get you a promise on that thing and claim that promise. I don't know. It might be Philippians 4:19. Hey, it might be Psalm 61:2. I don't know what it might be. You find you a verse. You claim it and you claim it. Make that your verse. I'm going to promise you. Claim that through the year. I'm going to promise you this. He'll prove himself to you. He always has. And he always will. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more this year.